This is an Aero News Touch and Go for December 13, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. House of Representatives Tuesday passed legislation to increase the mandatory retirement age for U.S. airline pilots to 65. The legislation now goes to the Senate. Minnesota Congressman James Oberstar sponsored H.R. 4343, titled the Fair Treatment for Experienced Pilots Act. If the Senate follows up, the bill will delete 121.383 from the FAR, allow pilots between 60 and 65 to fly provided there's an under 60 co-pilot on the crew, protect pilots over 60 from airline attempts to apply tougher standards than those for younger pilots, and even drop the requirement for a younger co-pilot on international flights if the International Civil Aviation Organization drops the requirement in international rules. It also directs the Government Accountability Office, which is the investigative wing of Congress, to evaluate any effect on aviation safety 24 months after passage of the bill. A call for longer runways and new rules governing landing procedures during thunderstorms are two of the recommendations from Canada's Transportation Safety Board following an August 2005 runway overrun accident involving an Airbus A340 operating for Air France. Flight 348 skidded off the runway at Toronto's Pearson International Airport as it landed during a fierce thunderstorm. All 309 passengers and crew escaped the burning wreckage, but 10 were seriously injured. In its final report issued on Wednesday, the TSB recommended Transport Canada mandate 300-meter overrun areas at each end of all Canadian runways. TSB Chair Wendy Tadros noted that that's already an international standard. Other recommendations include new rules about landing in thunderstorms, increased training, and a new regulatory requirement to compute required landing distances ahead of touchdown, taking weather conditions into account. CBC News reports many crews currently don't take that precaution. More detail on the report and reaction to it are available in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Technicians and engineers at NASA will conduct a test on Tuesday to see if they've ironed the bugs out of the fuel level sensors in the external tank of the shuttle Atlantis. The sensors are critical for safe operation, and as many as 3 of 4 have failed during recent countdowns. The test will involve pumping liquid hydrogen into the external fuel tank as it sits on the launch pad at Kennedy Space Center. NASA is hoping the tests will find the cause of the failures without moving the shuttle off the pad. If it needs to be rolled back to the vehicle assembly building and torn down, it could add months to a mission already months behind schedule. On Wednesday, the International Air Transport Association lowered its 2008 profit forecast for airlines worldwide, citing high fuel costs as the primary reason. Bloomberg reports IATA now projects airline earnings will fall 11% next year, and that U.S. airlines will lead that decline. 2007 will be the first year the worldwide airline industry has posted a profit since 2000, before 9/11. IATA figures show the industry as a whole is still $190 million in debt and ill-prepared to weather an economic downturn. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. A winter blast causes grief for Midwest travelers. Frontier Airlines finally launches its new Lynx subsidiary. And Northwest pilots go to court to fight both their employer and their union. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Otis Cameron, Business Development Manager at JP Instruments. We'll talk about how modern electronic monitoring can help you get the most from your aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.